Hello and welcome to We the Meeple, where we hold these truths to be self-evident that board games are like Betty White, timeless, and they're never going to die. My name is Corey, and I'm your host for this evening, and I have two amazing co-hosts, as always. First up, we have Joseph.
We have We the Meeple and Thoughts and Players. We talk video games and board games. You could say we have a Monopoly going.
Oh.
Monopoly.
Okay. And we have Cody. Cody, what's up?
Not much. I can't follow that up, so.
You usually end with me, but that's okay. Yeah. We switch it up this time.
I just go with my heart, as always. Yeah, welcome to episode 3 of We the Meeple. First two have been received very well, so thank you everyone that's listening. Please continue to listen. If you're hearing this, then you are. So good. Awesome. I'm happy. First up, we have the segment we like to call One Good Thing. So for One Good Thing, we just mentioned one good thing in the board game community that we like to talk about. So, Co, do you want to start us off with your one good thing for this month?
Sure. I actually went to Walmart today and I bought 2 Yu-Gi-Oh! Decks, starter decks, Slife for the Sky Dragon and Obelisk the Tormentor. So pretty excited about that. I'm a big Yu-Gi-Oh! Fan, so should be fun.
This has been great. This has been 2 out of 3 episodes that we've mentioned Yu-Gi-Oh! I love it. So, I'll go next, Joe. I just want to talk about, going into the board game hobby, I felt like the only places you could go was dedicated board gaming shops to buy board games. So today I went shopping. I went to a Barnes & Noble's. I went to a Target. And this is probably well known amongst the board game community already. But these stores actually have legitimate, hobby board games. And it's great to see, that I can go into a Target and possibly find my next favorite board game that's actually a legit heavy strategy or something like that. So I just like to see these stores having these really big games. And I hope it goes to every store, Walmart's, mom and pop shops. I love to see it.
Yeah, for sure.
And Joe, your one good thing.
My one good thing is, I don't know how I found this, but I was just looking up like board game news and stuff. And I seen on a news website that there's like a new Kickstarter coming in the fall, and it's a new Batman board game. If anybody knows me, I'm like a huge Batman fan. It's like where you are the inmates and one of the supervillains, and you try to escape Arkham Asylum. So I'm going to be looking out for that one for sure.
Are you going to Kickstarter it, or are you going to wait?
I might. It looks, there's really no info on it, but just the Kickstarter comes out in fall. So hopefully it goes through and everything works out, and hopefully it comes out next year, maybe.
It does sound fun.
Yeah, it sounds really fun.
I'm a big Batman fan, Code. You like Batman well enough. And jumping back to Kickstarter, none of us have Kickstarted any board game at all. I think Batman's a good choice to be the first one for Joey.
Yeah,
I don't sure know. I've had a couple that I've been close to, but haven't pulled the trigger. So I'll be interested to hear in future months, probably on a one good thing, our first Kickstarter game. So we'll see. But besides that, we have our Wheel of Destiny discussion. Last week, we rolled the wheel, spun the wheel, and we landed on party games. Not very fair. It was only on there for 1 month and it got picked. But here it is. Joseph, do you want to lead the conversation on party games this month? We're talking everything, baby.
Okay. First off, I love party games. Party games is probably one of my favorite type of games, to be honest with you. There's so many different type of ones.
Wasn't top 3.
Yeah, true. Wasn't top 3. I didn't think that was really a thing, but okay. I just want to start off with maybe saying what are some of our favorite party games? Maybe like a top 2, top 3 favorite party games. Anyone want to start?
Yeah, I'll start. I like Shifty Eye Spies. I always found that game to be pretty fun, entertaining. You're always looking at people, seeing if they're, obviously winking at people, and then they're winking at you, but you still call them out. I guess, would you consider Sushi Go a party game? Not really, right? I guess not.
It's got a little more strategy than...
It's like, right, here's right. The party game to me. I don't want to switch up the conversation a little bit. I still want to talk about our favorites, but I think before we begin, like, what's a party game to you guys? And I'm sorry for taking over, Joe. This is a good question, because like Sushi Go, it to me, a party game, you have to be able to fit a lot of people into it. You have to be able to laugh. it has to be simple enough that you can teach a whole group of people very quick. So by like all those measures, Sushi Go is kind of a party game. I mean, one of the
aspect to it has to have a lot of social aspect to it.
I think it does.
I feel like Sushi Go, you don't really have to you don't have to talk to anybody if you don't want to. you know what I mean?
True, but like I'm looking at Sushi Go now, and you know what it's called?
Sushi Go Party.
It's called Sushi Go. The version we have is called Sushi Go Party. It's a party game, man. Sushi Go, you can play a lot of people. You can crack up while playing. Now, maybe you're not supposed to crack up, but we find jokes in it, you know? I don't know what Very it true. Is, but I would say those are pretty good requirements, though. It's a fine line. It is a fine line. Is there any other things that you guys would say really makes up a party game?
I mean, I guess maybe time-wise, if you reach a certain time limit in a game, then is it really a party game? Like,
most party games last
anywhere, you know, 15 minutes to a half hour. I feel like most party games, some are even shorter. So if you get any higher than that, I feel like you're losing the aspect of being a party game.
That's a great point. If it's an hour, it's not a party game.
Yeah, and I would say the explaining aspect, if you have to explain a lot of rules to it, then it's like, you're not going to be able to explain all this rules to my different aunts, you know what I mean, and different uncles. It's not enough people are going to care.
Not enough people are going to listen that long. I think another thing is we're talking party games, so presumably you have a party of people. You got to be able to easily mix in people when you need to. You know, I think some of the best party games is, you know, you don't necessarily keep score. You're not having a winner and a loser. Maybe there's an end goal, but you don't have to hit it. And, you know, hey, this guy has to go and get a drink. This guy has to go to the bathroom. Okay, hey, jump in real quick. Play for him. You know, a lot of games you can't do that for.
Yeah, exactly.
Party games are perfect for that.
Exactly. We've had times where it's like someone's playing a game. They got to go. If it's not a party game, the game's done. You just got to stop. But if it's a party game, then yeah, you can jump in. Everybody, doesn't matter, because like you said, we're not keeping score. We're not doing those type of things in party games. We're just there to have fun.
Right. It kind of makes my point now, where like a party game is something you start with the day, you know, something you play, and then we go to a bigger game, or something you end the day with, you know, where you play your main game, and they're like, hey, we got, you know, 30 minutes left. Let's just bust out this game and play it real quick. So to me, that's what makes a party game. Something you can play fast. You know, everyone knows the rules real quick, super simple, bunch of fun.
Yeah, for sure.
All right. Now, after that 10-minute pit stop, Code, what were you saying was your like some of your favorite party games?
Well, Shifty Eye Spies.
Mm.
I would say Resistance is another one that's up there for me. I know I said Sushi Go, but Resistance is up there for me as well, which is a lion deduction game, which is also a quick game. But mostly those are kind of my two favorite, I would say, just because they're quick and fast and a bunch of fun. What about you guys?
All right, so there's one. When we first bought it, I think maybe it was you that bought it, Joe. I know it wasn't me. It was either you or Cody. And I wasn't very interested at all. You know, I knew what type of game it was. And when I played it, even though I played it, I was kind of like iffy about it. But the more I play it, the more I love it. And that's really bad art. It's Pictionary, right? It's just Pictionary, but it's speed Pictionary, because what you do is you flip over a card and you then have, I believe, 3 seconds to write.
That game is fun.
What the card is. I think everyone has their own card, right? Their own individual card. And you have 3 seconds to write exactly what's on the card. And it might be something as simple as like a kitten, or it might be something like obtuse, like happiness, or like red light, green light, or something, or monopoly,
literally anything. You
know? Right. It couldn't even be like something that's physical. And in 3 seconds, you can't write it. You can't draw it. So everyone puts their stuff in the middle, and everyone like mixes up their cards. And you flip it over and you see, hey, this person is, you know, someone had to write down pandas, and you figure out who it was based on their 3-second drawing. And the game's hilarious. It fits a lot of people. Anyone can play it. You know, children can play it because guess what? They can't draw well. Well, either can Cody under 3 second time pressure. Mm-hmm. So,
be fair. Really, I think it's 5 seconds.
Maybe is it five seconds? I thought it was three.
I think it's five.
More sense. Five makes a little more sense.
It's still hard.
I'll tell you. I'll tell you what it is. It's not long enough. Is the time limit? It's so short.
It's still hard. Yeah, for sure.
Love that game. And another one that's kind of like that. I don't want to use this as my second, but a fake artist goes to New York. Same kind of deal. Everyone gets a card of a specific thing, except for one person, and you all have to draw one line. And the person who doesn't have the card has to kind of like bullcrap their way and draw a line that still makes sense to everyone. Then everyone votes on them. But those are two. They're both drawing, so they're kind of easy, you know, kind of the same category. But I'm also going to throw concept in there. Pretty much concept is just 20 questions with a board, you know, and that's always good. You have people that aren't playing the game that are coming by the table and guessing and saying stuff, and it just makes for a good time.
Yeah, for sure. No, yeah. I like concept a lot. Concept is one of those games where it's like, you're definitely not keeping score. You're just trying to guess.
Some of my
favorite party games is Ultimate One Night Ultimate Werewolf. Is that obviously one of mine? That one's just, I could play that one for hours. I don't know why, but it's just a hoot. Another one is Cash and Guns. That's the one where like you're kind of pointing guns at people, and this is like one of the funniest moments I've ever had.
Foam guns.
Yeah, not real ones. one of the funniest moments I've ever had, I was playing with my nephew and nieces, and we're pointing guns at each other, and then my, like, mom comes in the room, and they're like, what are you guys doing? That was just a hilarious moment.
Right.
And then I guess the last one is Secret Hitler. Secret Hitler is probably a party game, and I think that's probably one of my favorites, for sure. That one's just, overall, just a great game, and just really fun to play with a group of people.
Yeah, I think social deduction and party games kind of go hand in hand. If you have the right group. You know, I guess it always depends on the group. Deception, Murder in Hong Kong, I would consider that the way we play it, a party game. We laugh, we have a good time, we joke around, but another group of gamers might really crunch down and be like, hey, we're doing detective work. Yeah, they might really take it serious. And the same thing with Secret Hitler, and like I'm looking at King of the Jungle has always been like a party game for us, but it is technically a social deduction game. So those two kind of go hand in hand.
Yeah, for sure. For sure. Don't really know where else to go with this one. I don't really know.
Well, I mean, like, are you okay with playing party games in a non-party setting? Like, so I guess what I mean is, are they a legitimate game that you can add to your collection that can be played other than just situations where you have a big group of people? Like, do you find them like as legitimate as like worker placement or card management or area control? Do party games deserve to be in that like spectrum?
I would say no.
No.
I mean, party games are a lot more fun with more people. So unless if you have a big group, it's not something you're going to, like I said, not something you're really going to want to be pulling out. We may play one at the end of the night just because we're running short on time. But typically, we always play party games at parties, and that's where they're the most fun, in my opinion. Just because something like King of the Jungle, if you got 10 different people playing, you know, the animals are fighting, and it just makes a lot more fun than us three playing around the table and ending in 2 seconds. You know, that's the way I feel about them.
Yeah, it really depends on how many people you got. If it's just us three, we're never going to bring a party game out. But if there's like two or more people, maybe four or five, maybe at the end of the night, we bring one out. Most of the time, the games you can't even play with less than three or four people. You know what I mean? You have to have four people to play sometimes. So it just really depends. That number of people really makes a difference. Because, I mean, replayed times where it's just us three and, like, Uncle Ron and Brady, and replayed a party game after playing all those. That's not really, like, a party setting. That was a setting where we're going to play board games, but then we're just done with the bigger ones, and now we're on to the smaller ones.
Kind of like a cool-down period.
Exactly.
All right, so I want to I want to get a little controversial here. Neither of you two, I would say, are like board game snobs. We all really love board games. We're all really into the board game zeitgeist. You know, we keep tabs on new stuff coming out. You talk to a guy, yeah, I'm a board gamer, and then he only lists party games. Is he a board gamer? Code, go ahead, make somebody mad. You're at work talking to a buddy. You tell him you like board games, and you start listing off your board games. He's like, "Yeah, I love board games too. I got Code Names. I got
I would say Jenga." Technically, like, he still, if he just has party games, I would still say he's a board gamer. I wouldn't say he's not. I would, I guess, try to persuade the reach maybe for bigger, more intense games, I guess, more strategic. But hey, everyone has their own thing. Like Joey said, his favorite type of games or one of his favorite are board or party games. It just depends on the person, depends on what you like. You know, I like the more strategic games, the longer games. Some people like the short games, you know, hang out with the party, have a little fun. And, you know, so I would still say he's a board gamer. Yes. Yeah. To answer your question. Yes.
Yeah, that sounds like a little dig at me a little bit. It just me, my first year naming like our all top 20, all like 50% of them, 75% of them was party games. But board games to me are whatever you have a good time with, you do what you got to do. A lot of times party games don't even have boards, and that's okay. It's still a board game to me. So I'm with Cody. Would I be like, okay, party games, you can start getting into other things. But if that's your cup of tea, man, that's your cup of tea. You do what you got to do.
Are you guys aware of the term gatekeeping?
No.
So gatekeeping pretty much means like keeping a selective group of people out because they're not into the exact thing you're in. Like, say anime. Oh, yeah, I mean, the man anime. I watch Dragon Ball Z, and that's the only anime you watch. Anime community might keep those people out. You know, like, oh, those aren't real anime fans. Party gamers are definitely gamers, 100%. I'm glad you guys didn't do gatekeeping and say, oh, you got to play these games. Like Joey said, if you like any sort of board games and you're getting together with friends or family and you're having a good time, that is what board games are all about. Even when you're playing the heavy strategy games, even when you're playing war games or control games, anything like that, at the end of the day, you're trying to have a good time with the people around you. That's why you play board games, because it has that human interaction. You don't get that as much from video games or something online. So yes, party gamers are board gamers, 100%. I consider myself a party gamer. Joe, I know you're a party gamer. Same thing with you, Code. So like I said, it wasn't exactly our first type of game ever, but man, we still play them. We still like them. We have a good time with it. We like to laugh. So, and they're the perfect game for it.
Yep, absolutely. I agree.
Do you guys have any final thoughts on this little short discussion? A recommendation, perhaps?
I was going to say, I was going to give a recommendation. Like I already said multiple times, Shifty Eye Spies was fun to me. Always been fun.
You want to tell everyone what that game's a little bit about?
Yeah, it's a game, I believe, up to 5 players or 6 players. You get that 2 cards. One's a location and one's a person. And whoever the person is on your card, it's going to be someone opposite of you. So what you got to do is you got to try to get their attention by looking at them. And once they make eye contact with you, you're going to try to wink at them without anyone else seeing. And the fun part is where you got to look at the whole table, see who's looking at you while trying to get this guy's attention. And like I mentioned earlier, sometimes you'll try to do a sneak wink in there to your own person, and then they'll still call you out. If you call somebody out and catch them, they get a point. So there's been times where, you know, I would wink at somebody and they would call me out, and I'm like, are you kidding me? I'm winking at you. And then be like, whatever. But it's just a fun, quick game, funny game. So I would recommend that. It's something small. I'm sure you can get it for cheap. So if you are trying to get into party games and you have a decent group, I would say that would be a decent one to start.
How about you, Joe?
I kind of forgot one. Detective Club? Is that Detective Club? Is that kind of like a party game? I would say so, right?
Yeah.
I hate that game.
It's kind of it's where you get like cards and you're trying to like pick out a point with the cards. and then you're going to draw a word on every card, and not everybody has the same word, or everybody has a word but one person, and then you're trying to figure out who doesn't have the word. So that's kind of like I play that game all the time. I think that one's kind of like that one's a good recommendation, I think. Definitely, it's a social deduction game for sure. That, like you said, Corey, kind of goes in the realm of party games.
Stressful.
It is pretty stressful sometimes, but
I have an anti recommendation. Crabs Against Humanity. That game sucks. So now moving on from. I thought that was a very poorly made game where in the middle of gameplay, things can just stop because you don't have the right amount of cards coming out at the same time. Great concept where you and your teammate have to think of a special code to determine that you have the pair that you need, but just executed horribly.
I was going to ask you why you bought that game, but I'm pretty sure now you just explained it. So,
because it had a cool mechanic where you have to make like a, you know, you're doing like baseball signs, touching your nose, touching your ears. Well, it only really matters when I touch my chin, you know.
Can I give one more recommendation? Yeah, I would say one we didn't talk about. I found it interesting, kind of cool, is The Mind. I don't know. You remember The Mind, right? Where everyone gets dealt down some cards. And you got to try to put them in order from lowest to highest, but you don't know anyone else's cards. So it's kind of more like a feel thing with your group. Like if I have number 10 and Corey has number 15, we can sit there, you know, and then at some point you're like, mine's got to be the lowest card. I'm setting it down. So you got to work as a team. And it's more of a connection level with your team on this one.
So. All right. So I was going to be done with party game talk, but actually I want to bring that back up now. The Mind is max 4 players. The Mind, you do not talk. We established the rules for party games at the beginning, but I think the mind is an exception. Like, obviously, you think it is. Joey, do you think?
Yeah, that's a fringe one, man. It's,
like, because you're not necessarily laughing. Like, you could, but you're not.
I mean, you would be laughing after you're done.
Yeah.
It's really, it's fringe to me. It's really tough. I'm not opposed to bring that on a party setting, though. You know what I mean? I'd bring that out in a party setting.
I get it. I mean, it's kind of the same thing with Codenames. Codenames is I think you could play as many people as you really want, but I think it shines as like a 4-player game, you know, two teams and two. So, and that's kind of a party game. So I think, you know, even though we established the rules at the beginning, there's a wide, just a lot of games can be party games, even with different player counts, different rules, stuff like that. So... any final thoughts, Cody?
Nope, I'm good.
We love party games.
And with party that, boys. We will end
Party Boys.
The Party Boys podcast coming 2023. Look out. and with that, we end the Wheel of Destiny discussion. And we are moving on to the Meeples Court. Dun, dun. Hello, I am your judge, Corey Spytek, here today, presiding over... kind of a reckless case here. We have two games. We have the Great Western Trail and we have Western Legends. Now, what connects these two games? Is it the word Western? That's honestly the only reason.
That's the only reason. Games up.
Well, they're both the word Western. You know,
they're both kind of cowboyish.
The fact that you're naming Western Great Code. Western Trail as cowboys is laughable. It's comical.
I mean, not all cowboys rob trains, Joe. I don't want to start the.
When I think of cowboys, as a judge, when I think of cowboys, I think of robbing trains. I don't think of wrangling cows.
Okay, I mean, Joey, the boy.
The name. Their name is Cowboys.
This whole segment. He's
anyways,
ridiculous.
Joey the kid, in. Joey the boy.
If I could reel this in. We have Cody, who is going to be defending the Great Western Trail, and we have Joseph, who's going to be defending Western Legends. Now, I want to hear a clean case given by both of you. I don't want mudslinging in this case, all right? I take this courtroom very seriously, okay? So just don't be batting your spurs and doing your rope-a-dopes, all right? I just want to hear nice, clean opening statements. So we will leave it to the person who lost last week, who's currently 0-1 of Episode 2 of the Meeple Court. Cody, please give us your opening statements for the Great Western Trail.
You're looking very handsome, by the way, Your Honor.
So last week you also used that joke.
And you also
material. All right, so Yes,
it didn't work for him, but it may work for you.
It's not going to.
Okay, well then I'll get on to my
please.
Okay,
have better
okay. material. Great Western Trail is a great game. There's great components to it. You get the little meeple guys. We get little meeple guys, and our podcast is We the Meeple, so it fits. You get a nice little board with the circular tokens that are nice. It's well kept track. You got many different strategies in this game. You can go with the trains. You can go with the buildings. You know, you can buy a ton of cows. Many different strategies you can go with this game, which also gives you to the certain type of workers you need to buy. You know, there's the engineer, the guy who lets you buy cows. I actually can't remember the last one. But let's get to why Joey's game is worse. Okay. A. His goals are boring.
Let's give Joey an opening statement to even talk about what his game is. Okay. Joe, please continue with your opening statement. Please start your opening statement on Western Legends.
All right. The fact that we're even in here today, in court today, is comical. The fact that we are comparing these two games is laughable. We are comparing one of the most entertaining and experience-filled games in Western Legends to one of the most longest, most boring, most predictable games I have ever played. Western Legend is more than a board game to me. It is an experience. You know, when you're opening that box, you are in for more than a board game. Western Legends has storytelling. It has gambling. It has dice rolling. And just enough about everything where you know you're not playing the same game every time. You start off by picking these iconic characters like Jesse James and Billy the Kid, and you are fighting for points to be the best cowboy, best outlaw. Whether that be getting in duels or fighting for points to be the best cowboy in the game or robbing banks. Or if you're not into being mean in the game and shooting people and stuff, you can play poker or mine for gold. There is no end to the possibilities. Unlike Great Western Trail, or Maracaibo, whatever. It's just exact same game, pretty much.
He's dogging out different games.
It's the exact same game. Anyway, I feel like I'm doing the same trail every game, and you are doing the same moves, and you have to get lucky with, like, the cow cards or whatever to collect matches and stuff. Yes, you do.
No, you don't. You have multiple ways.
You don't pick through a thing to
yes,
get...
Yes, you do, but
that's
you have
luck.
All...
That's, no, that's have... parks. That's
okay,
luck.
But you... No, your game has way more luck than my game. My game, you can get rid of the cows by going on certain spaces on the board. Your game is, hey, if I want to play poker,
see,
I was
too freaking busy even watching my clock playing that game. That's how boring and long
that's
that
fine.
Game was.
That's just because your little peanut brain can't understand. All right, listen.
Enough with the insults.
Your game has, your game, you say you have poker, but if you're not drawing good poker cards, you're not going to be able to play poker. You're going to lose every time. You say your game has outlaws. Here's a big flaw, the biggest flaw about your game. Say you become an outlaw, right? Then I feel like someone in that game has to sacrifice what they want to do to become a marshal to try to stop you. And then it gets kind of annoying if you're
an
outlaw.
They don't have to. They're just going to let the other team guy win.
Okay, well, that's what's the point of playing the game then? And then if you become an outlaw and there's three marshals, they're just going to literally team up on you the whole game. Which at that point can become pretty boring, don't you think? And then there's literally the sheriff, which doesn't seem to do much in the game. If you're not, you know, he's not moving that far. He's not stopping you. You got the goals in the game that are simple. It's fight some guy outside of the town. Like, that's no fun. And then the end game scoring is stupid. Literally, I could be up 6 points. And you get 3 tokens, and I get 3 tokens. And just because you got better luck and drew random 3-point tokens to my 1-point tokens, I'm going to lose the game. To me, that's a huge flaw in the game for end game scoring. It doesn't have a consistent end game scoring where you know what you're going to get.
Sounds like you know more about my game than actually your game, to be honest with you. Why don't you name some good points for your game? I can't because
the,
I think
the buildings.
Boring.
How about the buildings?
How about
you can
you just
upgrade
go
your
along the same trail every single time. It's the game never changes. You go along the same exact trail every single time, and then you get to the end of the point. And then you're like, oh, okay, I'm going to go maybe to Kansas City. And then, okay, I'm going to go back around the same exact trail and do the exact same thing. In Western Legends, you can do anything you want. If you don't want to go to play poker, you don't have to go and play poker. You can
But can you really do anything you want? I mean, you literally you kind of have very few options to win the game, in all honesty.
No, there's not many options. You can become a bad guy. You can become a good guy. You don't have to do any of those. You can go play poker. You can mine for gold. You can. There's so many different. You can wrangle up cows. It pretty much does it better than your game.
Anything.
It does the better cows, than your game.
No. Those
you get points by that. Useless. And it's also storytelling. Oh, man. I did good this round. I was the first one to get. To rob somebody, I get a point. I did something. I did something good.
You did something good. You robbed somebody, you did something good.
I did something good in the game. Plus, okay. The other thing is, luck is part of board games, man. Luck is board games. Every board game has luck.
You the one who brought up the luck, not
I
me.
I did, but that's your argument. That's always your argument.
You argued it. I just following up what you said.
Very true, very true. But still... Luck and social aspect in the game is part of games, board games. Okay. One point in the game in Great Western Trail where I feel like I'm interacting with people. In Western Legends, you're always interacting with somebody.
Yes, but that can also be its downfall. Like I said, if you're a marshal or if you're an outlaw and someone's a marshal, someone then has to sacrifice their game. Like, you have to interact in order to stop.
Yeah, exactly. And that's fun. If you're not interacting with people, why don't you just play a solo game?
But what happens if I want to play poker that match, right? I want to play poker, and I can't because literally I have to become a marshal. In Great Western Trail,
if you're good enough to be playing poker, you can win before they win.
In Great Western Trail, if I want to go for the train route, I can just go for the train route. If I want to build buildings and help my you know, route along the way, I can do that. There's literally no one else stopping me from picking my own strategy and going with it.
And that could be a downfall too. That could also be a downfall too. You could also not be able to stop somebody. I get what you're saying. If you have the best strategy, you're going to win. Sometimes that's not always the best game though. Interacting with people sometimes makes the game better.
But that is for Great Western Trail. That's what that game's about, is the strategy of the game, coming up with your own strategy and executing it. Great. Your game is just doing whatever, and then if you become an outlaw, hope no one stops you. But I have another point about your game. To me, your components aren't as good as mine. My tiles are good. Your little figures, I feel like, are dollar store. You can get the army men better at the dollar store than what those guys are. Because some of them, I think, already broke in our game. So
objection. You have no evidence for that. You provided
really?
No evidence.
They're looking like Stone
this
Cold.
This guy has wooden meat. Hold you in contempt. Relax. Unless
this guy has wooden
Stone Cold and he's making Austin hand. That's what they look like.
This guy has... picture evidence. We will not talk about them being broken. I do not believe they're broken, and that was a false accusation. So
no, this guy's argument is me. This guy's argument is so poor. He's getting to the components and art of my game. He knows my game is so much superior that he has to argue like my art. Your art sucks.
You told me that your game is just you can do whatever. That's all
you
I've
can.
Heard from your. That's
you
fine.
Can.
That's but
you can do whatever you want. If your
you haven't said
if your your strategy ahead. Doesn't work, you can do something else. You can interact with the
you
players.
You can't, because if you fall behind in that game, there's literally no coming back. If you're
why
down,
not?
Like,
if you fall behind in the game, then you can rob somebody else and take them from behind. If you fall behind in the Great Western Trail, you're done.
Point.
You
it's
guys,
not like you steal points,
you can, but you can steal money and then you can get more points.
Here, you guys are meandering about the same point over and over again. Can I hear something new, or we can go to closing arguments? Are you ready for closing arguments? Are you going to keep talking about the end game scoring back and forth?
I have no
end. I wasn't talking about the end game scoring. I was talking about from the beginning to the end scoring. Is if I feel like if you fall behind, you don't really have a great chance to come back in that game, which is sad because then you're sitting there thinking, man, I wish this game would get over because I can't even win anyways.
The fun, so, here's the thing though. even if you lose, you can still have a great time.
Which you're not, which you should know.
Yeah, I know, and I have a great time with it every time. So
we are going to
board games. Okay, go ahead.
We are going to move on to closing arguments. Joe, you have the floor first. You can finish that thought that you wanted to talk about, and then move on to your closing arguments as allowed through the principles of court. That's part of my closing argument. Okay.
Part of my closing argument is we just talked about party games. We're not even keeping score. We're not even worried about a winner. Part of board games is having fun. If you are looking at your clock and wondering, man, when is this game going to be over? You're not having fun. And that's what I don't want in my board game collection. I want a board game game in my board game collection that you can look at the game and be like, man, I just had a fun time. It didn't even matter if I won or lost. And the fun part is, even if you get down, you can still have fun with it and mess with other people. And that's part of board games. And that's okay. It's okay to lose. It's okay to have a good time. If you're looking for a game that the strategy aspect is beyond anything, then go ahead for Great Western Trail. If you're looking for a game that is you can have a great time with your buddies, Western Legends is the game.
Joe, you have the floor.
I agree with Joe to where he argued, you know, looking for a great time, his game's probably more the game, more of a strategic is my game, which is more of my style. To me, it's just a game. You say it's the same thing, but I don't think it is, where you can go with the train aspect. You can go with the building aspect where you can, you know, change your route from where you're at to get to Kansas City. It could be totally different every single game because you're building different buildings every single game. And the tiles on the buildings have both two sides. So, you know, you could play with one side one game, and then the next game you can play with another side. So you keep talking about how my game's the same, but I see so many different ways of how it can be different. So that's just the way I feel about my game.
All right. I have the floor.
Yeah.
Yes. You, sir. I don't know what two-bit backcountry law school you went to, but Cody, you spent 95% of this argument dogging Joey's game, and you did not specify the richness of strategy that you feel in a Great Western Trail, how every move feels like you're making a big impact. That game is a top 10 game for a reason. It's applauded by the mass audience. Everyone should have it in their collection because even though it's long, you feel that there is a beginning, a middle, and an end. You argued against Western Legends. You did not argue for Great Western Trail. Joseph, you did not much better. You got into the back and forth with him talking about when he dogged your game, you dogged his game. You know, it's hard to believe that a game as rich as Western Legends, where it's an open world game and you can do anything. You talk about the excitement of traveling the world, the excitement of increasing your horse and getting new items and like doing those stories. None of that was talked about. Code, you didn't talk about how you had a deck building game. These were poor arguments by both you guys. I've got to put a game in the collection. As much as I hate to do it, I'm going to give this win to Joseph.
Of course.
I like Western Legends a tad bit more because of the story. No, you should not be applauding. You shouldn't.
Don't matter how you got the win. Don't matter how you got the win.
Hey, I have a question here. I have a question here.
I am severely. I thought we were going with
arguments. Who had the better argument?
Yeah, hang on. I have a question here.
But just
no, this is the second week in a row. This is the second week in a row where I've heard I'm picking this game because I personally like this game a little better. That's what I've been hearing.
Because both your arguments were poor. Joey's was a little better.
How was it a little better? What did he say that made it a little better?
He talked about his game. He talked about why he loved his game. Code, you didn't talk about the reasons you loved your game until the final closing argument. If I had never heard of Great Western Trail or played it, I would have no clue what that game was about. Absolutely no clue. Mm-hmm. I should arrest you.
This guy had a one-sentence overview of his game, and then he just started dogging my game.
That's all you did was dog it. Code, in future... As judge, in the future, I think you'll get by with the passion of why you love that game. I know you feel a great love for Great Western Trail. I know you do. It's your second or third favorite game of all time. Tell me why you love it, Co. Don't worry about Western Legends, okay? If your game's good enough and you love it enough, you will win. But I did not hear any of that. I really didn't. I heard a little bit about train strategy. What's that mean? Why is it fun? And as a former lawyer, I'm telling you this because it'll get you further ahead, okay? Mm-hmm. You don't have to be held back by your low IQ.
He was too busy.
I'm just saying.
Worried about my game. And I was too busy looking at my clock.
And to be fair, I don't think Joey did much better. He sounded drunk. So I will say this was a wash, but Joey gets the nod. I'm sorry. Great Western Trail is going Western Legends is going into the collection.
Yeah, you know with your heart what should really go in.
Godspeed, Lawyer Cody.
And have fun when you're the outlaw and you get arrested 8 million times because Uncle Ed doesn't like you.
And with that, we are moving on to the game of the month. Talking party games, we have a little bit of a party game review. We are talking about Wits and Wagers. It's Vegas, baby. So, to hit us up with that overview, we have Cody, who has forgotten all about that loss, and he's going to be coming in very cheerful. Cody, why don't you give us an overview of Wits and Wagers? It's Vegas, baby.
All right, perfect. We actually just played this game, me and Joseph, so I got a fresh take. I believe it's up to 6-player game. I don't really know exactly, but it's a gambling trivia game. Basically, you start with a board. You start with a little board, and every player gets passed out one. And then you start with 2 poker chips as well. And then someone will read a trivia question. Let's just use I'll give you an example, one that we had. Like, what page did Moby Dick first show up on first get seen in the book? So then everyone who's playing, they'll write down whatever they think the answer is. So we're going, let's just say, by pages. So one person can put, I think Moby Dick will show up on page 1. You know, everyone has different answers. Someone can say page 100, page 200, blah, blah, blah. So after once everyone's done with their answers, we all flip them over at the same time. So then we look them all over. Then we put the lowest number in the furthest spot, and then we work our way down. So if it's 1, it goes to the leftmost space, and then we keep working our way down until we get every number in order from lowest to highest. And then once that happens, then everyone takes their 2 tokens and they're going to place it on whatever answer they think is the right answer or closest to without going over, correct?
Yep.
Okay, without going over. And each of the answers then will have odds. So say you have the one that's leftmost, it'll give you 5-to-1 odds. So if you place 1 token on there, you'll get 5 tokens back. If you place, obviously, both of your tokens on there, you'll get 10 tokens back. You can put the tokens on 2 different answers. You can put it on 1 answer. You can even put it on none of the answers. You can put it on if you think all answers are too high, or if you want to put them on, you know, the first three lowest answers, you can place them on that. You can place them on the last 3 highest answers. So there's a lot of things you can put them on. And then after everyone places their bets, you flip over, we read the answer. Like I said, whoever gets closest without going over is the winner. So the person who wrote the answer technically doesn't win. They get like a little separate little bonus area. So whoever placed their tokens on there gets the tokens back, and then their 2 tokens back. And then if, let's say, they placed 1 token, it was a 5-to-1 answer, they'll get 5 additional tokens from the bank that they can use future answers, but they don't have to bet them if they don't want to. So basically, it's just a trivia betting game. A lot of fun. It's 7 rounds, so whoever has the most money after the 7 rounds wins the game.
You know what? That was an amazing overview. You hit every aspect of the game, and I think you pretty much talked about the entire gameplay too. So let's talk about the gameplay. You've already explained it, but do we like this gameplay, guys? From my opinion, it almost feels like wits and wagers, like craps or roulette. Because like you said, Code, you have all these different gambling spots that you can go to. And it feels kind of exciting. You know, you can pick, like you said, the first 3, last 3, bet on different aspects of the board, not just pick your favorite answer and hope that it's right. So I do like that part of the gameplay, guys.
Yeah, no, for sure. My favorite part is it's like trivia, but it's like really not trivia. If you're like the smartest dude in the room, you still probably won't win this game because like the trivia questions are so like so freaking crazy. Like, how many munchkins are in the Wizard of Oz movie? Like, who knows that? Nobody knows that. That's literally just a guess. I think everybody guessed was off by like 100. It's just it's not, it's a trivia game, but it's really not a trivia game. You, so many people come up with stupid answers, and that what makes it a party game. It's just, it's a fun game to have. You look at an answer and you're like, that is the stupidest answer I've ever heard. And then it's like the closest. It's like, oh crap, I guess my answer was way off. Sorry. Yeah. But it's really funny. It's a really fun game.
Yeah, yeah, anything else, Dan?
No, that's
No, not for me. I think we hit pretty much all of it. It's just a, like Joey said, it's a party game. You can play it pretty quick. And like you said, you don't even got to be really any sort of smart to win the game or even play the game. Literally, you just got to take a guess at the answer and then just put your tokens on what you think's the right answer, or not even the right answer, just the closest. And then, you know, literally anyone can play this game, so, which makes it also fun. And it's easy to teach.
I think the trivia question is just so hilarious that even if you're not winning, you're still having a good time learning the answers and stuff. So I think that's kind of, I think that's kind of a plus.
And then you get those people, I know this answer.
Exactly.
And then they don't really know the answer.
Yeah, exactly. Like, so, I've heard this on the news before. Like, okay, no, you didn't, but okay.
Yep. So it's like fun game. That's also one I would recommend. I never really played any Wits or Wagers or anything like that before.
Yeah, I don't really have nothing to base it off. I don't know if all Wits and Wagers trivia questions are just crazy like that, but this one, definitely the trivia questions. You don't have to be like a genius to play this game. Anybody can play this game and have a great time with it.
Yeah, they definitely do trivia the right way with this gameplay. So, and the gambling is good as well. I think to finish off the gameplay a little bit, is there a little bit of like end game where it's kind of hard to come back if someone gets a lead?
Yeah, somewhat.
It's kind of been a while since I've played it, but if you do good in like the first three or four rounds,
they can just copy your answers, and that kind of would kind of hurt you a little bit.
It all depends on how you want to play it.
Yeah,
if you want to play it really safe and just win, just want to be a winner, then yes. But a lot of the times when you play this game, you're like, well,
I'm all in.
Let's say this is a gambling game. I'm a gambling man. Let's put it all on 6-1 odds, and then you lose. But it doesn't matter because it's a fun game.
Yeah, that's true. I guess if you're playing it by the letter, it can kind of get a little iffy. But if you're playing it by the spirit of the game, you're not really supposed to do that. And when you're playing a party game, you're really playing it for the spirit of the game at the end of the day. So not that big of an issue.
Absolutely. I mean, if you're playing to win it, then yeah, this game ain't the game for you. I mean, it's just, you're not going to have as fun. You're not going to have as fun time as with it. Because I had my time. I'm like, well, I trust my answer. I'm going all in on my answer. My answer's rolling every time, and I didn't get any points. I still had a great time with it, though.
All right, let's move on to components real quick. Now, if I remember correctly, like I said, I didn't play this last weekend with you guys, but I have played it numerous times before. There's kind of like a felt mat that comes with the game.
The felt mat is pretty nice, actually.
And you have plastic poker chips?
Yeah, the plastic poker chips are.
They seem like sturdy, though.
And like whiteboard.
Yeah, they're not bad.
And like a whiteboard with markers, correct?
Yeah.
So all, I would say I think the components as a whole are like decent. It's nice that they have this stuff, but I'm not blown away. You know, the poker chips are there. They're not necessarily the nicest. You know, the whiteboard and markers are fine. The felt mat is kind of nice because most board games don't have that, but what do you guys think?
I feel like for the type of game it is, I mean, it's as good as it's going to get. I mean, there's no point. It's a trivia game. So, you know, the most important thing is trivia. You're not going to, you know, make the poker chips super awesome because they're really not the most important thing in the game. But they are good enough to me where they won't wear down at all, really, I think, over time. I mean, obviously, if you play it, whole bunch, but they seem to work so far for us.
Yeah, the only thing I think it could get better in is if it had like actual poker chips or something, but that's not going to happen.
Right. I think we're pretty much done with components. You know, not a lot to talk about. Let's move on to theme and art. which I think might be another kind of quick one. It's Vegas, baby. Do we get that Vegas feeling?
I would say so. I mean, like Joey talked about, if you believe in your answer, you're putting all your chips on your answer. And like Vegas, you're going to lose your money most of the time because you're not right. And then I feel like the gambling aspect, I get a good sense from it. And I feel like the trivia aspect, I get a good sense from it. So I feel like they really did a good job on the theme that they picked.
Yeah, for sure. I think like exactly what Cody said. I think the gambling aspect is great. I think you're really, you feel like you're at Vegas sometime where you put your chips on all your answer and your answer's wrong and you lose your money. That's how Vegas feels, I'm guessing.
Yeah.
Go ahead. Finish your thought.
On the art, there ain't nothing for the art. Nothing. It's literally nothing.
It's a trivia game. I was going to start off with the same point. The art, there's really not art. You know, it has the wits and wagers thing at the top. The trivia cards are just literally words. The back of the cards have the logo. So there's really not much for you to get engaged with in terms of art.
Even the box just says wits and wagers on it.
The felt is nice with the art. I mean, they separate it good where you understand what you're betting on. And they separate it by color, so they do that well.
What's the theme? I guess it's Vegas because it says Vegas on the box, but is it really Vegas? I mean, it's just putting chips on a place, but they do a good enough job with the board, coloring it green like you would see at, like I said, a craps table, and doing the either red or black, kind of like you would see at a roulette. You know, you're not going to feel like you're at the Flamingo in the 1980s betting big money, but the little touch is enough to kind of get you there. You know, it's not like, hey, you got to play this, you're going to be so engaged in the theme, but it's nice that they add those touches. But art and theme it's fine, and that's all it needs to be for this type of a trivia gambling game. So
I agree. And just because it says it's Vegas doesn't mean like the theme is Vegas. Like it's literally a trivia game. So if on the fence about it, like I don't know anything about Vegas or gambling.
I'm against Vegas. Like,
need to know anything about like Vegas or all. It's just literally just a straight up trivia game with just gambling aspects. So
yeah, for sure.
All right, so I think this last point is kind of interesting. So as we talked about, this is a trivia game. How's the longevity? Because I think trivia games in general, you would think not very good, but we might have different answers for this one.
Go ahead, Joe. Okay. I feel like if you play with the same people, probably not extremely long, but the cards, I think I haven't even read a card before, but I believe it has two different answers on each card.
Right? It has a front and a back.
Okay, so there's a decent stack of cards. So I guess as long as you're not taking the same answer or the same questions, it should last you a little bit. And heck, I mean, you could probably honestly look up your own answers or questions online if you really, really wanted to keep playing and you ran out of questions. So I feel like, you know, you could literally play forever, I guess, if you just look up questions. But
yeah, who wants to do that, though?
But like, yeah. what you get in the game, it's not going to last forever, but it'll last you probably a decent enough time until you're ready for a new board game.
Yeah, it's a trivia game. So I loved this game at the beginning, and then I just played it the other day, and it's like, man, we're seeing the same questions kind of. Sometimes. Like, it's just like, oh, we've had this question before. Put it in the box. Oh, we've had this question. That sucks. That's like a sucky feeling because it's like, man, I don't get the same feeling as I would if it was a different question. But the longevity, it's decent for a trivia game because, like Cody said, there is a lot of cards, but it can only go so long because it's a trivia game and there's only so many questions. And if you want to go the route of printing out new questions, but why wouldn't you just buy a different trivia game?
Right.
That's too much work.
So I'll say this about the longevity. I think as a party game, as we've already discussed, it's not something that you bring out weeks in and weeks out unless you're throwing parties every weekend. I guess maybe people cooler than us do that. But, you know, as board gamers, it's not like you're bringing this game out every week. So if you bring it out once every couple months. Even if you get the same answers, it's not as much fun, but it's really hard to remember some of these answers. You won't get, I think even if you heard it like 6 months ago, you won't necessarily remember the answer. And it's not about getting the answer right, you know? So I think it has more longevity than most trivia games. Is it infinite? No. You know, you're eventually going to get to a point where you've heard a question on the third time and you're like, well, this is boring. I don't want to answer this question again. And yes, it does have a pretty big deck of questions, but they seem like they go pretty quick, you know, especially since the game's so short. And when you play it, you usually play it 2, 3, 4 times right in a row. So the longevity, I think, is decent, especially for a trivia game. So unless you guys have anything else to say about longevity, let's move on to final thoughts. Give us a recommendation, a score, anything you want to talk about. Code, yep, why don't you go first?
For the final thoughts?
Final thoughts.
Final thoughts is, it's a fun game. I mean, not really, I don't think, our style type of game too much. If you're going to buy a party game, there's so many better party games out there. Unless if you're a real trivia nerd, and you're not going to, you know, I feel like there's so many better options out there. I probably would only give it like a 6 or so. Mm. So, it does the job well, but it's just going to get old and not really, like I said, our type of style for board games.
Joseph?
Yeah, I would agree with that rating. I think I'm going to go a little higher because I do enjoy this game, but I just felt like the last time I played, it's like, ah, man, I'm getting the same question. And it's like, even if you don't know the answer, it's still, I had this question. Because some of the questions are really funny. So it's like, when you hear it, it's like, this is really funny. This is really funny. But when you hear it again, it's like, it's boring. But so I would give it probably like a 6.5. I'll give it a 6.5. I'll go a little higher than Cody.
Okay. Yeah, so we have a lot of games, and a lot of games we don't play more than just a couple times. Even if we like them, you know, we'll be like, oh, this game's pretty fun. We'll never get back to it again. So I will say, for Wits and Wagers, we've definitely got it out enough that I think we got our money's worth. You know, I think it was like a $40 price point going into it, and we've brought it out significantly for a few different, you know, get-togethers and parties. So, yeah, we got our money's worth. But everything you guys said, I kind of echo. Getting into it, and actually, when I saw the first reviews for it, this game came out a couple years ago, I was very excited. I'm like, oh, cool, gambling and trivia. And playing it left me feeling kind of like sparkless. You know, I had like this spark going in, and then like after playing it, I'm like, oh, it's okay. It's fine. You know, I wasn't necessarily the most funniest game. It wasn't the most interactive game. I'm not saying I hate the game, but in my rating scale out of 10, I think it's, man, average. So I give it a 5. You know, 5 is average for me. I think there's much, much, much better party games that I enjoy playing. And I don't know what's wrong with it. There's nothing I'd really do to improve it. You know, the trivia is fun. You know, the gambling aspect's fun. It just doesn't hit me in my soul like that. So
it's just what it is.
It is what it is.
It's the type of game it probably is what it can be.
I mean, there's not much wrong with it, but there's not much I could find that would find it to get it more engaging. I don't know. It's just, it's fine. It's average. It's okay.
I mean, that's the thing about party games, though, right? We can play party games 100 times in a row, but even then it's like, this game is okay. You know what I mean? There's a lot of party games like that where you can play it 100 times because that's how quick party games are. And that's why party games are so fun sometimes.
Yeah.
But I'm with you. It's an average, it's a decent party game. Is it the best party game out there? No. Is it the worst? No. But yeah.
That's Crabs Against Humanity.
Yeah, Crabs Against Humanity.
That's the worst party game.
Would you get that rating?
You're plugging Crabs Against Humanity,
actually.
Oh, yeah. The Crabs Edition.
Yeah, Crabs Edition. Hate that. Anyways, yeah, there you go. I gave it a 5. Cody gave it a 6. And Joe, I think you gave it a 6.5.
Yeah.
Wits and Wagers, it's Vegas, baby. We're not saying you shouldn't get it, but maybe don't expect the world beater of party games. So there we go. And now, the Digital Minute. And for this month, we have Joey going back with another digital game. Joseph, what do you have for us this month?
My Digital Minute this month is Ticket to Ride. I got Ticket to Ride for, I think, $3.99.
Ooh, is this part of your minute or not here?
Yes. I'm starting.
Hold on. Give us three seconds. Two, one. 1 minute, go.
Okay, my digital minute this month is Ticket to Ride. I think the price is $3.99, but I could have got it for $1.99. I don't really remember. You could play against computers on this game. You can play against – I usually play against computers, but you can also play online with people from online, and I'm sure you could play with friends too. But the cool thing about online is they got this kind of cool system where everybody gets like a set time, so like 7 minutes, everybody gets 7 minutes. And then every time your turn comes, it's like the time goes down. And then after your turn's done, the time stops. So after every turn, if you run out of time, then you like lose the game, which that kind of sucks. But anyway, Ticket to Ride is that game where you like get train cards, and then like you set them down in sets, and then you try to like make board colors that get trains. How many seconds? 2 seconds?
That's been a digital minute. I'll say I have Ticket to Ride too. It's a lot of fun, you know. I don't have the physical version of the game, but
by the way, they had like leaderboards for like the AI and stuff. So that's kind of like you kind of like push yourself to like get higher points and stuff. So that's kind of like a cool deal. I feel like nobody even learned. If nobody knows what Ticket to Ride is, they're just like,
this was worse than my argument.
This was literally the worst overview of Ticket to Ride I've ever heard in my life.
You spent 15 seconds saying I got it for $3.99, but I guess it could have been $1.99. If you find it on sale, it could be even cheaper. It just really depends on. I mean, Ticket to Ride, it's a train game. Over 3 million copies. So I think everybody knows what Ticket to Ride is. It's a set collection game. A lot of fun. Kind of medium, lightish. It's a really good game to get started with.
When I first bought it, I was playing it like literally every day. And it was just like, I don't have the physical version. But sometimes the digital versions are sometimes better because like you don't have that cleanup. You can play with.
I know.
I don't computers. Have I don't. I can play with computers.
You run out of 7 minute time limit here. That
sucks. I was so ticked one game, man. I was winning and stuff. I was playing great, and then my time went up, and I'm like, "Oh man!" And they just kicked me out. I'm like, "Oh man, that sucks."
7 minutes doesn't seem like a whole lot of time.
Well, it's for the whole game, so it's like you take 10 second turn, then your turn's done, then you got 7 minutes.
It's like chess. You have a clock that clicks when it's on your turn and then clicks off when you finish your turn.
People like me need a half hour, though.
Yeah. I think it's one of those fun games that's even fun to play against the computer. You know, you don't really lose much playing against the computer rather than, like, a human, you know? So it's fun to try to get, like, your high score. And I think you can, I don't know if you did, but I think you can buy a ton of different versions of it inside.
That's why I think I was seeing the $1.99 thing. Because there's like so many maps.
Mine cost money. I bought it a long time ago.
Yeah. See, I bought the game for like, I think $2.99 or $3.99. I'm like, I don't really want to buy more maps, man. This is like, if the maps were like a couple maps came with it, but it only comes with like one map for like $1.99. It's ridiculous.
They do have one of Michigan, though.
If you're listening, I didn't even see that one.
We are all from Michigan. I forget what the actual. It's not called like Ticket to Ride Michigan. I think it's like Ticket to Ride Great Lakes or something. I can't remember. Please, no one kill us. I don't remember what the Ticket to Ride version is, but there is one where it has a Michigan map, which is kind of cool.
That is pretty
represent.
Cool.
Yeah, it's been your digital 6 minutes. So. I hope you enjoyed it. and now, just moving on. We're moving on right now. We took a long time at the beginning, and now we're just flying through this right now. We have the podium. What is the podium? That is where we take a topic and we give a game or a concept or an idea a bronze medal, a silver medal, and a gold medal. It's pretty much a top three, but we put a fancy name on it. So for the podium this month, we have our three underrated games. Now, you can take underrated however you like. Joe, you were mentioning like, hey, if a game's top 10, but you really think it's number one, then yeah, that game's underrated. You know, it doesn't necessarily have to be a bad game that you think is good. It's really just whatever your reasoning is behind it. You know,
I can redeem myself with Great Western Trail right here.
Cody can redeem himself. So we have the podium,
think that's an overrated one.
Underrated games. We will be doing overrated next month. Who wants to start? Code, because you're on my left side.
Why not? I'll start.
You're bronze medal recipient, and it's.
I don't know if I don't know really know if I have these really in any order. I know it's kind of weird, but it's whatever.
It's great.
I'm gonna go with. I know you two don't really like this game, or at least I don't think you do. But I'm gonna go with a game called Cottage Garden. Mm-hmm. I really find this game a lot of fun. I think it's like a 5x5 board or something like that. And you go around, each person gets a turn, and then they pick like a little puzzle piece. And basically, you've got your own little 5x5, 6x6 board or whatever it is. And you got to try to fit this piece on the board, and you got to try to fill up all the spots. And obviously, the faster you do it before the other person, the better off you're going to be. But to me, I kind of just like the strategy towards it because you're just trying to figure out each piece that you want to get. And then sometimes you can't fit pieces, so you got to waste a turn getting like a single piece and all that. But to me, it's just a fun game, and there's a lot more strategy than I thought there would have been when I first played it. And it kind of reminds me of Tetris a little bit, and I like video games, so there you go.
Do you know what it's rated on Board Game?
I believe it was like 6 point something. Okay. So it wasn't terrible.
Pretty underrated then.
Yeah. So, but to me, it was, like I said, it's just one of them games. I just, for some reason, it hit with me and I really enjoyed it.
Okay. Yeah. That's cool.
Joseph, hit us with your bronze.
Okay. My bronze is One Night Ultimate Werewolf.
Really?
The rating is 7.1 on Board Game Geek, which is still kind of high, but all those games are kind of within that range. I think like 7.7 is considered like a really good game and higher, but then 7.5 is low and lower is just kind of like, eh, they're okay games. It's ranked 434 overall, and it's ranked 18th on Party Games. Can you believe there's 18 more better party games than this game?
I mean, I think, probably can, but
I think this is definitely number one party game, and then probably like a top 30 ranked overall. No, I'm just kidding, but, I really like this game as a party game. I think it's one of the funnest parties games out there, and I just think it's really underrated.
Yeah, when we first got it, we played for 2 hours or 3 hours.
I think that's why we don't play it that much, is because when we first got it, it was just
I like the game. Corey doesn't like the game.
I still hit it for you
for a year, remember?
It was someone drunk.
I like One Night Ultimate Werewolf. Okay, so I'll jump into my bronze. I had a bronze, and now I'm feeling a little bit foolish about it because it's like literally right outside the top 100.
8.8.
It's a 7.8. And like, also, I think maybe you guys like it. So I'm going to say it. And if you guys like this game, I'll immediately go to my backup one. So,
okay, cool.
Decrypto?
I'm so.
No, you got to pick a different one, man.
I'm not too fond of that game.
You like that
game? That's rated fine, though. It's good. It's really good. But it's all not right. 7.8, and it's like number two on the party games, I think it is. Which is ridiculous.
My list was more like, I think it's underrated in your guys' eyes, but
I like Decrypto, though. It was a good choice for me. I'm not a huge fan of Decrypto.
All right, so I'll pretend I didn't say Decrypto. I'm going to go with Viral. I'm going to go with Viral. You guys remember Viral, right? We don't play it that much anymore, but it's area control and programming. And it's really fun. It's about viruses that are like kind of infecting the body, and you play a virus and you're trying to go to different parts and take over like the brain or the heart or the lungs or something. And other people are trying to bump you out. And there's area control, as I said, and there's programming, which programming is a really fun aspect of board gaming that I don't think we do enough of. You know, we got Mech vs. Minions and Colt Express, but we don't really play those games as much. So it has a little bit of programming, which I find fun. It's got the area control. It's got really cartoony, beautiful art. You know, it doesn't take itself seriously. You know, you flip over cards telling what's happening to the person's body, and they're really, you know, unique and kind of funny. I think it's a great strategy game, and it's a 7.0, and it's ranked 1,200th best board game. I think it deserves a lot more respect than that. So That's my number three viral.
It's gotta be better than some of those games out there.
For sure. I really like the game, and like I'm down to play it whenever, you know. We don't play it too much, but I've only played it like once.
I'm down to play it for sure.
I've only played it once too, and I played it the wrong way. So
yeah. Well, maybe we'll play that next time.
Probably not.
Code, do you want to play this with?
Kind of play One Night Ultimate Werewolf again.
Yeah.
My number two is actually a game someone mentioned earlier in the podcast, believe it or not.
Can we guess?
Go for it.
Joey, guess.
Now
that I've asked us to guess, I have no clue.
Shifty-Eyed Spies.
No. Ooh. I'm going to guess.
It's in the same category.
Sushi Go.
No.
Sushi Go.
Dang it. Concept. This is the game I'm choosing.
Oh.
It also was around the high sixes on Board Game Geek. But I really like this game a lot. To me, it's kind of figuring out a clue. Someone gets a card, and they got five different characters or anything on there. Let's give an example. One could be Shrek. One could be Abraham Lincoln. Literally.
Spies.
I'm going to guess
is to try to lead their team. I don't know if it's a team game, or if we ever play team game like it, but lead their team to figure out what the clue is. So they can, someone can take a guess, like, is it a guy? And then I can place my little token on a hint to say it's a guy or whatever. I think I place my token first, and then they say it's a guy or whatever. And then basically the whole point of the game is to try to figure out what character I would have on my card or whatnot. And to me, it's just a lot of fun. We have a lot of funny guesses, and then sometimes we get stuck on the clue forever and we got to give hints. But to me, that's a party game where I think pretty much anyone can play as well. And it's good, senseless fun because you can just pick it up anytime and play it.
I'm not going to say you're wrong because it's your list, but like I had mentioned earlier, it's 20 questions. That's all it really is, but unlimited questions. But it is a fun.
So how does that make me wrong?
I didn't say you were wrong. I said I wasn't going to say that.
But I know you're wrong about an opinionated thing.
I
dog.
Didn't say that. I'm so just saying, messed up. Like, it's pretty simple. You know, I can see
why it is simple, but it's
I can
a lot
see
of
why
fun.
It would be rated lower. I can see why.
I always have fun when I play it, though.
I know, and so do I. I like that.
Really? It doesn't sound like it.
I like concept. I mentioned it earlier. I'm the
crypto
one
underrated. What's next?
Joseph, you're silver.
Number one board game of all time.
Yeah, see, I'm all over the board here, man. My silver is Western Legends.
Western Legends.
As we stated before, this is...
He gave us a hint.
This game is just like... almost perfect to me. This is literally like a 9.5. This is literally like that game. This is like one of my favorite games. It's ranked, the rating is 7.6, which I feel is kind of low. And the ranked overall is like 245th, which is like, I cannot name even
like.
It
stinks, it stinks.
I can't even name like 20 games that could even be considered better than this, let alone 245. games, and is the third ranked on old time West board games, one behind Great Western Trail, which we already proved that was wrong.
Oh yeah,
another crappy game I've never even heard of. But anyway, Western Legends, I think is underrated. Like we said before, you can kind of go any way we want. This game is highly rated, I think, by some people, by all of us. I think we all love this game, but.
My third favorite game of all time.
I know. That's why I was confused why you were dogging it so much. But anyway, Western Legends.
Hey, Corey.
You want me to dog him to make you feel better?
Hang on. How steaming was Joe when he seen it was the third best Western game? He had probably to find the first best Western game instantly.
Well, I was going off. I went to One Night Werewolf. I'm like, okay, this is the 18th. I'm able to do that for all my games. And then I was like, okay, Great Western Trail makes sense because it's like the top 10 game of all time. And then there was just another one above it. I'm like, wow, that's pretty crazy. I never even heard of the other game. I don't even remember what the game was, to be honest with you. But anyway, that was my silver. Corey?
Okay. My silver is a game that I know that I think both you warmed up on it a little bit last time you played it, but you were not at all wanting to play it. No one ever wants to play it. I don't know why. It is the 1,011th best board game of all time. It is Jump Drive. You guys remember Jump Drive?
I'm not a fan.
It's a card game. It's an engine builder. It's very quick. It's literally like 20 minutes. You pass out 10 cards, and you play the cards by getting rid of cards in your hand, and you got to play whatever it says it is. So if it's like a four, you got to get rid of four cards to be able to play it. If you only play down one card, you get like an extra bonus, but you can play down two. And like every turn, that card that's played down will give you something. It might give you 1 point. It might let you draw one card. So by the end of this 20 minutes, you get 70 points a turn. You get to draw 20 cards and keep 10 of them. So like, it's so quick. It's a lot of fun. It's a great filler game. Yes, the beginning's a little determined by the card draw, I would say. You know, you might get a little bit luckier. But, man, I had a lot of fun, and you guys hate it. And apparently a lot of people don't love it because it's the 1,000th best game. But Jump Drive deserves a little bit more love.
Yeah. I don't know. You were describing it, and I was falling asleep over here. So.
Yeah, for some reason,
I always Great Western Trail.
Yeah, for some reason, I always get confused when you mention that game. I always think it's Downforce, and then I get all excited because I like Downforce. And then I seen this game, I'm like, oh, it's not Downforce.
Joe's like, yeah, let's play.
Yeah, I'm like, yeah, okay, I'm down for it. And then I look at it, it's like, oh, this isn't Downforce. Like, okay, that's I don't
know. You guys don't like it. I think last time we played, you guys admitted it was better than you thought.
I didn't think I didn't mind it last time.
I don't like that game at all. I always get confused by it.
It is kind of confusing.
That's the thing, yeah. Also, for such a short game, it's got, like, all this iconography that's really hard to understand just by looking at it. You know, it's got, like, a red that means military, a blue that means something else, green means trade.
And then you got to connect all these planets and everything. It's too confusing. But
it's fun. It's fun.
My peanut brain can't comprehend. So.
All right, peanut brain, give us your gold.
All right, my goal.
The most underrated game of all time.
We all really like this game for a really long time, but it's getting a bunch of hate on Board Game Geek. I believe it only got a 5.8.
What?
A 5.8.
What game do we love that's a 5.8? Because I'm Super not going to love it anymore.
Super Fight.
I hate it now.
Super Fight is a really fun game. You draw three white cards, which are character cards. They can literally be anything. They can range from a rock to a head to the Hulk to literally anything. You can buy expansions and get more cards. But then you also draw three powers, and then you get to pick the power your character has. So you could have a rock with laser vision, which is pretty awesome. Then you're forced to draw another random power that you have to keep. So your rock could have laser vision, but then it could become a pinata, which is a pretty much useless character. So you pit your character against the other person's character. And then the fun part is then you have to argue the character, like the Meeple Court, and try to say why your character would beat their character in a fight. We've had a lot of great arguments and a lot of people angry at each other at this game. But to me, it's just a fun game, especially if you like powers and superheroes and things like that. I think you're really going to like it. And then we always take the winners who win three straight, put them in a separate bracket, and then verse them against each other later on. To me, it's a fun game, another party game, I guess you could say. And just we played hours of this game, and I don't think none of us really ever hated it. So. To me, it's underrated, especially on Board Game Geek.
That's a good pick. A lot of those types of games, though, are not loved by board gamers, you know? So, but great pick.
Yeah, Joe's, I think it is a great pick.
So great that Joey picked it as his number one.
Because my gold is Super Fight.
Super Fight.
Yep, Super Fight. I looked up the rank overall. It is 5,569th.
It's a shame.
I got shot.
He fell out
of
his seat.
Yeah, I fell out of my chair. I'm like, there is 5,000 more games. People think that's better than this? I didn't even know there was that many freaking games, let alone more better than this. I think this is better than Cards Against Humanity. What do you mean? This is like the best, like that party card game out there, I think. I think it's one of the best party card games out there. And I think it's way under. I think 5.8. You said I've seen 5.9, which is still like the lowest game. That's like,
yeah, that's probably what it was.
That's like in the Clue range. That's like, that's pretty bad.
See, yeah, thing with this game is it really never gets old because you have thousands of possibilities for character and powers that you can match up. You know, like you're never gonna have the same character really with the same powers. So the game always changing like that, at least.
Yeah, I was just, like I said, I was shocked when I seen 5,000 more better games. Like, holy crap, man. That's nuts. But great minds think alike, I guess. Most underrated game is Super Fight.
Let's see the trifecta.
No, I do not have the trifecta. But definitely the theme of this episode has been party games. And looking through these ratings, like you guys said, I just don't think party games are as respected at all. You know, especially party games like Super Fight and Cards Against Humanity, where you don't necessarily have too many rules and it's kind of just like a talking through thing. You know, even like the higher rated party games have like kind of board game established rules, you know, because it's a hobby site, you know, Board Game Geek, and that's what they want. But I think it's a really good pick. I like Super Fight. It's meant to have a good time. I have a good time with it. So,
I mean, that's the point of board games. It should be for people, right? Just to have a good time.
Yeah.
See, the thing about
a lot of time party games do that, and Super Fight definitely does that. I think every time we bring it out, I think I have a good time.
Yeah, Joe's right though. It adds more to those other games like Card Against Humanity, though, because all you do is give a card, read it out loud, and then you're the one who picks. You know what I'm saying? Like this one,
there's definitely a little bit of strategy.
Yeah,
to it.
You pick your person, and then you argue the point. You got to convince. You know, it could be three other people why your character is better. It could be five other. Literally, you can play this game with as many people as you want. Technically,
I think the underlying thing though is it's mostly like a talk through game. You know, like there's really not even social deduction games like Secret Hitler. You have some evidence. You know, you have they put out a fascist card. This is literally just a talk through game.
Right.
I'm not saying it's right that they rate it that low, but. That's the kind of ratings these games get. I think it's a good pick though by you two.
Yeah. All right. What's your gold?
All right. My gold is a game that is rated 7.6, which is pretty high, but it's 662 overall. Joey, I believe you like this game. I like this game. Cody hates this game. So when going through this list, I kind of put what I thought you guys thought were underrated, and I think Cody definitely hates this so much that I had to pick it. We love Fury of Dracula. Fury of Dracula is a great game. I think there's a game
I knew this
that,
was coming.
I think there's a game that if it wasn't for nostalgia, we might think was even better than Fury of Dracula. But we have nostalgia for that game. So it's always going to be rated above this one. Whitehall Mystery. Whitehall Mystery is just... It's such a good game, man. It's such a freaking good game. It's so... what is it? It's deduction. It's hidden movement, right?
Yep.
And it takes hidden movement, and it just makes it pure hidden movement. There's not really too many skill cards you can use. You have a big map with a bunch of numbers that the murderer can go on, and you have another set of numbers that the detectives can go on. And you're trying to catch them, like, kind of cross their path. And it's just it's very simple. You write on a notepad where you're going to go, and the detectives, they move out on the board, and they can do investigate or something else on their turn. So simple, so clean. If you're looking for a deduction, hidden movement game that doesn't take forever, like a Fury of Dracula, but you still want that feeling of it, Whitehall Mystery just gives you that tense feeling of both. When you're the murderer, you always feel like, man, they know where I'm at. They know where I'm at. And when you're the detectives, you always feel like, man, I'm one step away. He's one step ahead. And that's what you're looking for in that type of game. So Whitehall Mysteries, criminally underrated at 662.
This guy's a judge.
He was a lawyer earlier.
I went. Most judges are lawyers,
guy,
buddy.
This guy went through 20 years of law school. This guy went through 20 years of law school. He came up with criminally right.
Criminally. I said it. There you go. I had to warm up a little bit.
I like that game. That's a good pick.
Yeah, I know you do. It's a great game, man. I know Cody hates it because he lost the first time he ever played it.
No, that game's terrible. When you Joey's mentioned it a bunch of times today, you want to have fun while you're playing board games. I've never been so stressed in my life playing that game. I was so stressed.
You do want to have fun when playing board games, but I think board games can give you more emotions than just having fun. There can be games that
stress
feel
stress is not
tense.
The one I want to feel.
Tense.
Tense is fine. Stress is not. Literally, I've
stressed.
Never
you
felt
were never even close to me.
When I was the guy, oh, when I was Jack, sucked. When I was Captain Jack, I was stressed.
Yeah. Well, I'm so sorry for the way you felt, but because of you, we played it less than 5 times, and that makes me sad.
I did play it the other, probably about a year ago with Mac and my dad, and it wasn't as good as I remember. Maybe it was the people I played with.
I think it's the people. I played it with my in-laws.
Did you like it?
No, I think we screwed up. I think someone screwed
literally
up. So
every experience we had with that game was just like, eh.
It takes the right group, man. It takes the right group. I'm not saying like it was their fault.
I think if Cody wasn't a baby next time, I think we probably would enjoy it. I still think I enjoy Fury of Dracula.
I would be stressed.
I think we enjoy Fury. I enjoy Fury of Dracula, but I think it's so close. You know, Fury of Dracula is much more complicated, you know? And we're not looking to play a 3.5 hour game, I don't think, as much anymore. So
Joe's the only one who's not 40.
We should look into Spectre Ops or
you know
Scotland
good.
Yard. Scotland
you know
Yard.
You know what's awesome is you could just buy it on Amazon yourself. No one's stopping you.
Okay.
No one's stopping you.
We just can look into it.
No one's stopping you from purchasing a game, reading the rules, and playing it.
What
that's
a you
a
know
part.
What?
That's
wow.
a good
We're a family friendly channel or else.
Wow.
No, I was.
We're supposed to be a team over here, and you're just
party boys. 2023.
I was a little bit of a jerk, but I was actually going to mention, Joe, I think you would be really into a game. Maybe you heard of it. Maybe you even seen it, looked into it. Mr. Jack. Have you seen that one?
Yeah, I have.
That's a two-player.
That might be my digital minute next month.
Do you have it?
I have Scotland Yard on my phone.
I don't think it's the same as Mr. Jack.
Mr. Jack is on the phone, though. I might look into it.
Yeah, let me know if you get that. Maybe I'll get it too because I heard it's a really good two-player deduction.
I'll make you buy it.
No, thank you.
Jerk.
All right. So
and that concludes our podium.
The podium.
Session.
Yes. So we're at the end of the level or the episode. Oops, excuse me. Level. Episode. So what we do at the end of the episode, we have one more segment.
End of the
code,
board.
End of the board. That's
end
nice.
Of the board. That's beautiful.
No, end of the episode. End of the episode, Code. We have one more segment. Could you tell us what it please is?
It is the Wheel of Destiny.
Ah, come on, Joseph. What is it?
Wheel of Destiny.
All right. So the Wheel of Destiny is a segment that tells us what we're going to be doing next episode because we don't really know what to talk about. So we put this magic wheel, we put 6 topics into it, and we're going to spin it, and we're going to decide what we get to talk about next episode. So the topics are Legacy, Co-op, Gaming Evolution, Art and Theme, Most Disappointing, and our personal top 10 and what makes it. Guys, do you have a guess or a gamble on what's it going to be?
Legacy.
The third one you named.
The third one I named. Okay, I don't even remember what it is anymore.
Biggest disappointment?
Let's just go with biggest disappointment, even though it just got added on.
Legacy!
I'm sick of these games that just get added on to be like the topic. I want something that's been here for a while. I want Legacy.
Legacy.
I want to talk about Legacy. Here we go with the spin. Spin the win.
Co-op.
We can't even see it, but okay. Yes. Okay, cool.
How can you not see it? It's on there.
What is it? Turn it, move it.
Oh no! What? Oh, 1 second. Let me. I swear,
dude.
For some reason, party little games are still on there.
Oh my! Party games
again next week, guys.
No,
come
no, we're
on,
not talking
man.
About it 2 weeks
this?
In a row.
2 months.
Yeah, 2 months. MD most disappointing. I swear I saved it last time.
Well, there you go. So most disappointing one. Technically, you were supposed to
no,
take its spot.
No, we have to spin it.
We can't even see.
We got Werewolf next week.
Legacy? Oh, no. Top 10.
We will be talking about our personal top 10, how it evolved, and what's kind of there. We won't be giving you each of our top 10, but
sure
we'll be talking about
dropping
it.
Off mine.
We'll be Mr. talking Lemons. About it a little bit. I'm very excited for that topic.
This is a great topic.
It is a very good topic. I'm going to be doing a ton of research. I don't even know if my top 10 is the same as last year. It's been a really rough year with the pandemic, and I had a baby, so very hard to get board games going. So games I thought were my favorite might have simmered down a little bit in my mind. I don't know if Mountains you guys have any.
Still on Joey's.
Yeah. I don't know if you guys have any.
Pretty
like,
much flamed my top 10 list in the beginning of the show.
All right. Guys,
what would you do if your friend was a party gamer? Would you throw him out the window?
Hey, that was Corey. That
let's go
me.
For it.
You guys answered correctly, okay?
Oh, my top 10 changed for sure. For sure. So it'd be a cool topic to talk about.
All right, so we'll talk about that next month. And for now, that's been level 3 of We the Meeple. You can catch us every last Wednesday of the month. That is our official release date. Why? Because. You can also hit us up on Board Game Geek. We're always kind of lounging around. We're making topics. We're interacting with the people there. And we actually just got an email address, wethemeeplebg@gmail.com. BG standing for board game.
Yep.
We the Meeple was already taken. So don't know who took it, but we had to take the BG version. So if you have any complaints, any comments, anything interesting to talk to us about, hit us up on that email. And if you like this episode, maybe check out Thoughts and Players. That's where I come from, where we talk about video games, if you're interested in that. But, yes, this has been level 3 of We the Meeple. Cody, thanks for coming on.
Yep, sure.
Joseph, thank you for coming on.
Peace.
And we will roll that music, and we will see you next month. Bye.
Bye.